Hello and welcome to Revolutionary Woman. My name is Tess Silverman. Women around the world are constantly creating ways to make a difference in their communities, and today's guest is no exception. April is Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Month. To speak about this subject, my guest this week is Barb Jordan, personal safety expert. Barb has been featured as a personal safety expert on ABC Good Morning and ABC News Los Angeles and NBC News Nashville and Houston, as well as on CBS Inside Edition. Barb has traveled the world as an elite athlete, coach, broadcaster, and instructor. Barb is a former collegiate three-times All-American, three-time national champion, and seven-time gold medalist as a USA softball team member and coach. Hi, Barb. Welcome to Revolutionary Women. How are you this afternoon?
I'm good, Tess. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on the show. Okay, so let's get started. So you grew up in Southern California with two brothers and two twin sisters. So what was that like growing up with that many siblings in Southern California?
I didn't know any different. And we actually grew up on a street where a lot of people had a lot of kids.
I mean,
there was one family with five boys. There was another family with three boys and a girl, and three boys lived across the street, there were a lot of kids on this one particular street back in the days where we actually played outside.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, I grew up with two sisters, so for us it was normal. But I know that some people think that after two or three it's it's a little much. But
right.
Especially, I mean, what did you think was so different having twin siblings?
Well, they were 7 years older than me. And I just know that they had a lot of fun with it because they were identical. People could not tell them apart. It doesn't matter how hard people tried, they couldn't do it. So they had a lot of fun with it. And I just remember listening to their stories, whether they were in class, at school, whatever it was kind of fun to listen to that.
That's great. Okay, so you are the founder of Always Bev. What is Always Bev about, and what prompted you to create it?
Well, Always Bev, it basically stands for Always Be Vigilant. And it is a company where I do public speaking, and I travel across the country. I go to different venues, organizations, universities, corporations, and I speak about the importance of safety. And why I do this is because many years ago, unfortunately, we had a true life sociopath sit with our family at Thanksgiving dinner. And that sociopath was my sister's fiance. And there were many indicators along the way of, things just didn't quite add up, but we never knew that was going to lead to something violent. But 4 days after that specific Thanksgiving day, he ended up murdering her on an isolated road. And in 2018, he was released from prison. And that's when I launched Always Bev, with the mission in mind that people don't know what the warning signs are.
Wow.
They don't know that these little subtleties really do mean something.
Yeah. I mean, did you have any indicators at all that your sister was possibly being abused, or was she being abused and you just didn't
know? Well, she wasn't being physically abused. I think he did the typical MO where they isolate you. He would never go out with a big group of friends. It was always, we'll go out with her, or he would never put himself in big surroundings. I remember their engagement party. I remember walking in and I was a little late, and I remember getting there, all these people around, I'm in the entranceway of the house, and I say, where's Rich? Why couldn't I find the fiance at his own engagement party? And that was Rich. He was always in the shadows.
Wow.
So there were warning signs. And after my sister was killed, and all of these years since, no one in the family, there were six of us left, has ever said, I can't believe that Rich killed Bev, which tells you how many warning signs we all had. We just didn't know it was going to lead to something violent.
Right. So you said that he was convicted and served for 30 years, but was released in 2018. Now, how did that release affect you and your family? I mean, do you think he should have
You
still
know,
remained
I
in prison?
was,
Should he have stayed in
yeah,
prison?
I wasn't a big fan of it. I
Yeah.
definitely was not a fan of it.
Right.
I don't know. I think, you know, obviously it stings. I think that that's California. You know, they say, you know, he's taking his anger management classes, you know, that you do a list of things and they release you. But, you know, somebody who was as evil as he was and possibly still is, they don't change. And, you know, and that's kind of like why I launched this, because people like him and others are released all the time from prison, and they're not the scary looking individuals. They're normal looking. And that's why this education that I bring to people lets you know about concerning behavior, whatever it is. And specifically, Tess, when your intuition speaks to you, because I will tell you, our intuition hit us many, many times over those 8 months. And it was just simple things like, oh, that's weird, or huh, that doesn't add up, or oh, Bev doesn't usually dress like that, or Bev got engaged so quickly. That's odd. That's really not like Bev because she's such a strong woman, you know? So there was probably, without a doubt, a lot of manipulation going on behind the scenes.
So, you've become a keynote speaker on this topic of personal safety. Do you think that some people are just more proactive about their personal safety than others? I mean, I'm thinking about, for me, like you said, your intuition is something you should listen to, right? It's like something in the back of your head saying, huh, that's weird. Maybe, but then we don't do the next thing, which is maybe you should follow that intuition, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing is so oftentimes we talk ourselves out of listening to our intuition, or we let somebody else talk us out of it. Like, this is just a prime example, specifically, like for I would say a lot of women, they'll go over to somebody and they'll say something like this. They could be maybe they're out at a party, you know, maybe they're at a social event outdoors, you know, whatever it is. And they'll go up to somebody and they'll say, that guy over there gives me a bad feeling. And then our big, you know, burly guy friends will say, well, what'd they say? What'd they do? And we say, oh, nothing, nothing. They just give me a bad feeling. And then they wave their hand at us and they go, oh, like they didn't say or do anything. Like, and, but and that's my point to people, that intuition is a feeling. It's not a definition. It's not they did this and that's why something's wrong. It's the times that we say, oh, that's kind of suspicious. Or like, here's an example. On that Thanksgiving day, Bev walked through the door at my parents' house. It was probably like 11 o'clock in the morning, and I said, I could tell you exactly where I was standing. Where's Rich? And she goes, oh, he has to work this morning. He'll be coming this afternoon. And I looked at her right then and there. I didn't say anything. And I thought, that's weird. Nobody works on Thanksgiving Day. See, it was there. It's subtle things where you know it doesn't add up. And again, does it mean that somebody's going to do something violent? I don't know. In a different scenario, maybe they're going to rob you. You know, if you have a business and there's somebody that gives you a bad feeling, maybe they're planning, you know, and they're in charge of the books and you have a weird feeling about them. Those are things that you should pay attention to. It doesn't always have to be something violent's going to happen. Could be an opportunity for somebody.
Now, did your sister ever say anything to maybe your parents about, something was going on or?
She knew the day before she was killed, she realized all of her money was gone because she worked at the family business. And she didn't say anything, but when she left the office that day, my mom sat right by the door, the exit door, and Bev pulled the door open. And my mom said she was, you know, she was mad. And my mom said, wait, Bev, I'll walk with you. And Bev just walked out the door. And that was the last time my mom ever saw her. And it was the very next morning where I know Bev confronted him and he, you know, manipulated her one last time. And the police say that Rich said, Well, now you've ruined the wedding surprise. I'll show you what I've done with the money. You know, come with me and I'll show you. And so
Oh my
she
gosh.
got in her car. He got in his car. He followed her up. She followed him up this windy road, Santa Susana Pass in the San Fernando Valley. He got out of her car, his car, went to her car. And, you know, there was a piece of paper they found by my sister, and she had all these questions on it. What's the $7,000, you know, credit card bill? What's this? She had all the questions. So she do.
Yeah.
Like, but Bev was so strong, she wanted to handle it on her own. She did tell one friend the night before, and that friend said, it sounds like he's going to bump you off or something. That's what she testified in court. And I wanted to say, you knew he was going to bump her off. Why didn't you tell her? So, yes, it all came together fast. And instead of, I know if she would have said one thing to my mom or dad, that this wouldn't have happened. And that's why in my sessions, I always say, when you have concerns, empower yourself with other people, because some of these situations or some of these people are too extreme to handle it alone. You have to empower yourself with other resources.
Right. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm listening to you and I'm like, well, I get it. But so, I mean, I know of possibly one or, well, I know of some instances where if the woman says something, they're not believed, like you said. Right. Or they just say, well, you know, there's nothing going on. So, you know, don't worry about it. And it's so crazy.
Sad.
Yeah. It's so
sad.
And it's crazy that, you know, even in this day and age, you know, women are still being subjected to that.
You're being emotional. You're making something out of nothing.
Right.
All those things. And again, intuition, there's a lot of different signals that intuition gives us. Like I always say, like persistent thoughts.
Yeah.
Or if we make a joke about somebody, like, I'll be there in a minute if they don't take me out first, ha, ha, ha. Like that's intuitively, you think that could actually happen.
Right.
You know, I think that suspicion, I think when you hesitate, when somebody goes, come on, let's go, and you kind of like pause for a second, like, there's so many different indicators. And of course, for women, that feeling we get in our stomach.
Yep.
Like that is like, trust this stuff. It's the real deal. You know, if you're suspicious about somebody, you don't have to have, like I said, it doesn't need a definition. It is what it is. Right. You feel what you feel. And if you trust that and don't let anybody change your mind, you're going to keep yourself safe.
Yeah. So I went on your site. Always bad. And your mission statement is really powerful. I like it. If you don't mind, I'll read it. At Always Bev, our mission is to educate and empower individuals with safety skills to prevent violence on innocent people. We teach the importance of awareness, how to identify warning signs for potentially violent behavior, and the significance in trusting our intuition. That is really powerful. And do you think that for people who are going through or learning from your classes, that can change the narrative about this, about, you know, these crimes, hopefully?
Yeah, I think that I know my classes empower people because I say all the things that people don't say out loud. I say, you want to go to dinner with somebody you want to go to have dinner with somebody? I go, and you want to go home with them? I go, anybody can behave for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Same thing. Oh, I'm going to meet this person on online dating. We're going to go have some drinks. And I'm like, and then they're like, they're so wonderful. You know? I'm like, well, did you think they were going to be an idiot?
Yeah.
Like, did you think they were going to show up on their worst behavior? Of course they acted well, but let's do it again and let's do it again. And now maybe I'll invite a friend, you know, but if we take these slower steps in getting to know people and not be so desperate for love and a lot of women like are lonely and I get it. Like everybody wants companionship, but I'll tell you, Tess, there's nothing like a good girlfriend. I mean, our friends are golden, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, in time, if you're meant to be with somebody, you're going to be with somebody, but don't force it, because if you force it, you're going to put yourself in a bad situation, and it might be immediate, or it might be, you end up getting married and then it goes south after that.
Yeah. So how has your classes been received and your speaking engagements been received by your audience?
I think the biggest compliment is that I could say almost half the places that I've gone have had me back or are having me back.
That's awesome.
So I do have a lot of repeat customers. I have one university. I just spoke to them for the fourth time a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
So it is, like I said, they're life skills. And it's not about, like I said, I'm not out bashing anybody. I'm just saying, like, this stuff is real.
Mm-hmm.
You leave a door unlocked, basic safety 101, lock your doors.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many times we have to watch videos of criminals just checking car door handles or walking up to doors and checking them and your windows. And it's like, but people think like, it's not going to happen to me. Or, and I always say, God, for the people that say I live in a nice neighborhood, I want to say, if I was a criminal, I'd go to the nice neighborhood because you have all really nice things.
Yeah.
I mean, they just think, some people out there, not all, they live in a fantasy world about their safety. And I know that that gives them peace of mind, but really they're in a situation where they could be set up to be surprised, because being aware of how we can be vulnerable, which is what I highlight in our classes. This is how we can be vulnerable. When we know that, we're going to try to do what? Safety in numbers. We're going to have a plan, And I always say this, Tess, it's so important. Having your locations on is not a plan of self-defense. Mm-hmm. That's not going to save you. It's going to let us find you, but it's not a plan of self-defense. It's good to have it on, but it doesn't defend you if you needed protection. You have to have a better plan than that. And that's why going off with somebody who you don't really know and your locations are on is not a great plan.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, it's, when you were just talking, it actually brought me back to this incident I went through years ago when I was still living in Manhattan. I was on my way to the Long Island Railroad, and I had met up with some friends, had some drinks, and then I was going to go to the train. And I was on 36 between 6th and Broadway. And I was like, just walking along. Now, it was still like, dusk maybe. And I was like, okay. And I'm walking my usual, it's like running, walking pace. And then all of a sudden, just like, I started like feeling like somebody was behind me. And I'm like, And I just kept walking. And all of a sudden, this guy walked really next to me and tried to grab me with his, tried to like pin me with his arm. And then thank goodness I managed to duck under and miss it. So I, he didn't get me. So I literally just ran, and I got into the train station and went to where I was supposed to meet my husband. And then it wasn't until one of my friends from Long Island saw me and he says, "Hey, what are you doing here?" And as soon as he said that, I started bawling. And I was like, "Oh my gosh." And I'm like, oh my gosh, had I not listened to my voice inside, I would have been, I don't know what would have happened to me. And it was in an instant. It was like, oh my gosh, it was like,
and that's
so
what people
quick.
Don't understand, that it takes seconds. And Tess, had you had earbuds on, you never would have been able to have anticipated or have heard that person coming. It's all those things. That's one of the things I do with my class. I say, now who likes to wear their AirPods? And there's always somebody, and I go, oh, come up here. And we bring them up to the room, and I go, okay, you're gonna stand over here, and I'm gonna stand over here, and I'm gonna give you a heads up that I'm gonna grab you, but just put your pods in, and when you hear me coming, turn around and be like, I hear you, Barb. And so, they turn around and I grab them by the waist every single time. They're scared to death because they never can hear me coming. And that's when there's no music or somebody talking in their ears. It's just when your ears are covered, you're vulnerable, and you're telling somebody who wants that opportunity.
Yeah.
They're a great opportunity. They can't hear me coming.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Ooh, yeah, lots of lessons to learn for sure. So thank you for what you started. So who would you credit for where you are now?
Well, I do have to give credit to God for giving me strength, because it's definitely not easy telling my sister's story, telling her story in front of people. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, in my courses, I use real life stories of victims.
Yeah.
You know, like an example of somebody got into Uber and Lyft, and somebody posing as an Uber or Lyft driver, and he ended that woman's life. Mm. I tell that story, you know, and I tell that story because we have to know the safety skills before we can get into Uber and Lyft. Like, that's why I share like real victim stories. And from that, I share, now, if you're going to do this, this is how you can stay safe. Mm-hmm. And so it's just an array of situations. But doing it is hard, you know, and that's why I say I have to thank God, because it's hard to talk about the victims and what happened to them. And I don't say all the gory details, but I know the gory details.
Right.
And when I try to lay down to go to sleep after class, it's a long night.
Yeah. Wow. So going forward, is there something else you would like to do that you haven't yet done, or for the community you're involved in?
Well, I am really, really excited because so many individuals ask me, how do I take your course? Mm-hmm. And I always say, well, you know, you have to be with an organization. So what I'm doing is I am taking my course, and it's going to launch online in March of 2024. And it's going to be an array of classes, from, you know, women's safety to college women's safety, to safety at home, safety when you travel, realtor safety. It's just going to be an array of safety classes. And so now individuals, if they want, can go to this site, buy my online course, and they can empower themselves with, you know, real tactics on what they need to do to stay safe.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's great. And it's starting this March.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Great. So if anyone wanted to know more about you and Always Bev, how would they go about it?
Okay, well, my website is alwaysbev.com. If somebody was interested in the online courses, the online course is Stay Safe with Barb Jordan. And, you know, I'm on all the platforms. I'm on LinkedIn under Barb Jordan. My social media is always_Bev, whether that's Instagram or Facebook, whatever it is out there. I always try to put safety tips on my social media. Like, today's safety tip was about intuition. And I just, you know, I just think the reminders are, we all need reminders on staying safe. I need reminders on, you know, staying safe. You're in your car right now. Stop texting. Is your door locked? You know, like, you know, like, we all need reminders. And I think if we all encourage people to do the little things, and we all, you know, we empower ourselves, we empower our family and our friends and our community. And isn't that like a wonderful feeling to know that you're safe?
Yeah.
To know that nothing violent is coming our way. Like, I think that's a great feeling, because I'm going to tell you, Tess, I know what it's like to have something violent happen, you know, in your life, and you never see it coming.
Yeah.
It's super traumatic, and it's a trauma that you're going to live with forever.
Right. Right. Well, thank you. So if you have one thing to change that you wish had done years ago, what would it be?
In regards to what? Just anything in life?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anything in life. Well, I mean, like I always say, I wish I started Always Bev years ago, because it's so empowering and it helps people.
Right.
But I also know that emotionally, I couldn't do it years ago. It took, you know, I was still in the recovery mode. So I do wish I started it years ago. But for however long I do this, I'm going to go at it full steam ahead and hopefully make a difference in people's lives.
Okay. And my last question is, if you could go back in time, what advice would you give your younger self?
Well, I was an athlete growing up, and I played at a high level. Played after college for Team USA. And I would just say, you know, winning isn't everything. It was so important to me to win. And I was fortunate enough to play on many, many championship teams, national championship teams, USA softball gold medals. But I would just say it's not necessarily about being the best. Like there's so much more to the sport than, just being number one.
Great. Well, Bev, thank you so much for coming on the show and for sharing your story and your life with me and my listeners. Thank you for creating Always Bev and for what you are doing to make sure we are listening and also listening and also making sure that we are aware of what's around us because, I won't say everybody, but so many of us do not or like take it for granted. And it's when you do take it for granted that you're, not all the time, but that's when something would probably like say, hold on, say, so you're not paying attention. But I so appreciate you creating Always Bev and or Always Be Vigilant. I think it's amazing. And you'll be helping so many people, not just women, but hopefully everyone. And I love that you're actually having courses for college age women because so many of these things happen to women in universities, and a lot of them do not get heard or do not be taken, are not taken seriously. And I'm glad that you're doing that because they need to be heard. So,
Thank you so much, Tess. I appreciate all of those words.
well, thank you so much for that, for everything that you do. And with that, have a great day, and I will speak with you soon.
Take care,
Okay,
Tess.
take it easy. Bye. That's our show for today. I've posted more information about Barb Jordan on revwoman.com. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll tune in every other Thursday for another episode of Revolutionary Woman. You can listen to Revolutionary Woman on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Just a little note, I've launched a Patreon account to support the show. All proceeds will go to producing and editing the episodes to give my poor husband a break for being my personal IT and production department. He wrote this. The address is patreon.com/revwoman.